You're listening to the Riabu.com podcast with Simon Littlewood and Mark Lowardy. So finally, Simon, the Chinese have retaliated. US pork and apples are going to become more expensive in China. Tariffs from around 15 to 25% or so. Firstly, what's your reaction to all
this? Well, we knew this was going to happen. I mean, I don't think it's good news. I don't think this is the way to manage trade between countries. But Trump made it very clear right from the get-go that he was going to go after the countries that have the biggest trade surplus with the US. Those countries are South Korea, Japan, China, and West Germany. So far, he's had a very frank chat with Japan. He's cut a deal after a very last-minute negotiation and climb down by the Koreans with South Korea. Now, as expected, he's coming out shooting with China, and China, as expected, has now retaliated.
And the Germans are wondering whether the Americans are going to buy as many German cars as they did before. But, you know, for us here in Southeast Asia, what does this mean from the perspective of getting paid on time? As these trade barriers go up and speed humps are put in the place, you know, in the way of trade, does that mean the speed humps will also be put in the way of getting paid for those trades?
Well, first of all, you have to say that in Southeast Asia, the level of engagement with the Chinese economy is enormous. I mean, we're here in Singapore. Singapore does a massive amount of activity with China and wants to do more. Singapore is trying to position itself as a place that the Chinese can come and do business, banking business and other business. So any pressure on Chinese growth, which to some extent is what drives growth in the region, is a bad thing. But there's something else as well, which is that when you put out bellicose statements and you deliberately heighten tension between countries in order to achieve a point, whether it's a good point or a bad point, you create a higher perception of risk. A higher perception of risk inevitably has an effect on people's willingness to invest, on the level of money that you can borrow, and in the medium term, coupled especially with current Fed policy, it's going to lead to a significant increase in interest rates. That's going to affect everybody, yeah?
And I think we saw that in the US markets when the Chinese first announced this just before Easter, that all of a sudden the markets were dipping because they thought, okay, maybe economic growth is going to be hit by this. This is the sort of risk you're talking about.
Well, they can't make up their mind about Trump because, you know, the markets went nuts when he got elected. And for a long time, their view was that with the tax cuts and everything, they were going to make out like bandits. But all of a sudden, it's not looking quite so clear because he's doing a number of things to significantly increase tensions in different parts of the world. So far, that hasn't come to anything in geopolitical terms in terms of enhanced risk, but
almost
it might well
did,
do.
Right? It wasn't that long ago that we were all shaking about the Korean nuclear tests.
Yeah, so you've got to question that. I think if I bring the conversation back to Singapore, which is where we're sitting right now, and to the question of liquidity and cash flow, we know that Singapore companies as a whole take longer to get paid than almost any other emerging market. We have good data on that. If you want that data, you know, contact us at Riabu. But the reality is that Singapore already suffers from a culture of late payment. That all the signs are that that is actually getting worse. And if you're relatively small in a supply chain compared to your customers who are larger than you, you can expect to suffer disproportionately as large companies generate more cash by holding back their payments to you. As interest rates go up and the opportunity to borrow money commercially progressively goes down, this is a worrying situation for companies in Singapore.
I know this will sound like a silly question, but what actually happens when tariffs go up? Who pays in the end? And is there a delay in the number of days, let's say that those US apples sit on wharves in China? I thought the Chinese produced their own apples. But anyway, is there therefore also going to be a flow-through effect to how long it'll get paid for?
Well, you know, this is a long and rich topic. I mean, one of the problems with this kind of trade war is that if you put tariffs on products that are coming from China to the US so that the cost to the US consumer goes up, that doesn't automatically result in that product then being made and sold in the US, as perhaps some more simply-minded individuals seem to think, okay? What it does is mean that whoever's buying that product will buy it from the next cheapest place. And there are very few products purchased from emerging countries like China where the next cheapest place is going to be the United States or any developed country. It's going to be, you know, a Bangladesh, the Philippines, or wherever it happens to be. So at the end of the day, of course, the immediate impact is that the cost to the consumer in the US. So you could argue that it's actually the consumer in the US that's paying. I mean, although theoretically the exporter from China is going to pay the tariff to get it into the US, the reality is that the US consumer will pay. Yeah.
And for those, again, back to the US apple farmers or anybody else who's now exporting a product to the US or to China and faces higher tariffs, that will they get paid later? As a, purely as a result of the customs officials having to go around the wharf and say, ah, here we've got some US apples. We're going to have to slap some tariffs on those.
Well, you know, you need to look at the, I mean, in many cases, they'll be exporting on letters of credit if they're exporting to a third party in China. So that probably doesn't apply. But the fact of the matter is we are living in a world where companies are being encouraged to fund their balance sheets by borrowing money more and more and more, and they're not looking at the nitty-gritty question of what does it mean medium term if I continue to get paid later and later and later and later. We at Riabu think that this is a dangerous situation. We think that things are escalating quite rapidly, and we are completely on the side of those companies who are finding that the working capital is getting sucked out of their businesses by customers who won't pay them on time. We would like to help them understand how they can get paid quicker, both in terms of what the actual optimum payment term is, given where they are compared to their peers and to other segments, firstly. And secondly, what are the things that they can specifically do with the customers who are paying them later to put that relationship back on track? And there are a number of very tangible things that they can do. And the good news is, if you're listening and you are a company that recognizes that customer payments are slower and slower, 80% of the time, there are some very tangible things you can do to influence the way that your customers pay you. And we at Riabu are very keen to share those things with you so that you can rapidly see an improvement in your cash flow position.
Riabu.com. Thank you very much. Simon Litherwood and Mark Lowry saying, see you tomorrow.